Ambassador Wendy Sherman, speaking just a few moments ago, really sort of set it out there. This is a summit meeting between Hu Jintao and President Barack Obama.
At any summit, though, you have to kind of know what's at stake and who holds what cards.
Well, summit also is this metaphor of these are the two most powerful people in the world. So this relationship is important purely for that reason alone, although Ambassador Sherman laid out there it's a huge number of issues between the U.S. and China compared to the summits that we remember from the Cold War period.
They're definitely more complex and possibly will take longer to solve.
And the U.S. and China are competitive on so many different levels than the U.S. and the Soviet Union ever were. Joining us now is Cheryl Wu Dunn to help us understand for really the next hour here on The Takeaway, what is this changing relationship between the United States and China, and what are the expectations from a meeting between Hu Jintao and President Barack Obama? Cheryl Wu Dunn is a banker with Mid-Market Securities and author of China Wakes, The Struggle for the Soul of a Rising Power. Cheryl, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Which do you think is more important, the relationship between Hu Jintao and Barack Obama, or the relationship between the American people and the Chinese people? I know the former better than I know the latter.
Well, in the long term, it's going to be the latter. After all, there is a leadership transition going on, and Hu Jintao is about to enter his lame duck session, so to speak, and consider his legacy.
And what do you think his legacy is? On this program, actually a couple of days ago, someone suggested that either by reason of timing or his own personal political genius, Hu Jintao is in a position of importance that we really haven't seen since Deng Xiaoping.
Well, on the one hand, I think that is correct, that point in time that he became a leader in China was an incredible moment for China. China has really come to fruition. It really has come onto the stage, onto the global stage. On the other hand, he hasn't been the strongest leader. He wasn't handpicked like his predecessor Jiang Zemin by Deng Xiaoping, who was the premier paramount leader. And he really has shown some weak spots. So a lot of people think he has been one of the weakest, but on the other hand, he has presided over an incredible time for China. So, you know, it's dual-sided.
And it's parallel to, I think, the trajectory of Barack Obama, elected with a huge amount of promise and seen in the midterm elections to have a certain amount of vulnerability and political weakness here at home. Both of these leaders not at their political peak. So I'm wondering if what drives this meeting is forces that are really out of these two men's control, that the dynamics between the U.S. and China in business terms, in defense terms, and in just pure cultural terms, setting out the stakes for this hour, are huge and beyond the relationship of two men.
Absolutely. In fact, this summit comes at a time when relations between the two countries are pretty screwed up. So it's a chance to try to repair or even create a working relationship between the two most important countries in the world.
Well, you know, one of the things as they move into this business summit, and I'm sure that both of the presidents will be talking about it, is that there is an essential disconnect in understanding sometimes, not just from policymakers in the United States, but business leaders as well, who are used to having corporate protections of things like their brand and their business models. But as it turns out, when they bring their businesses to China, they lose control. And in fact, they're often given the advice of, if you're going to do business in China, you can't be a control freak. You have to kind of let go. Is that going to be something that's kind of going to be difficult going forward with the relationship in business between the U.S. and China?
Oh, it's going to get much harder. And in fact, the interesting thing, the way you put it, is that in many ways, the Chinese businessmen think the same. They've had protection in China for many, many years. I think the key thing here is that the relationship going forward is going to be one of misperception. The two sides, for China's side, for instance, it couldn't be doing better. I mean, it's just recovered from the recession much quicker than the U.S.
Sure.
But in many ways, that self-confidence is only skin deep, because the Chinese leaders know that they're very vulnerable. They're export model is under assault, but they know that that's the only thing that they, that's what they built their growth on, and that's the only thing that can sustain them for now. And they know that the economy is what is keeping them in power. If anything suffers in their economy, then they really are vulnerable.
Domestic political problems. Well, Cheryl Wudan, who's a banker with Mid-Market Securities, author of the book China Wakes, The Struggle for the Soul of a Rising Power. I'm wondering if that explains that sense of vulnerability on the part of American policymakers, if that explains this sort of reframing, it seems to me, of the persistent and perennial human rights debate between the United States and China, in that it used to be much more of a quid pro quo and maybe a more strident criticism of China. Now you hear the Secretary of State saying things like, well, to join this club of responsible nations, to be a real superpower like we've been for so long here in the United States, China is going to have to do X, Y, and Z, and that relates to human rights. Is China likely to respond?
No, not at all. They had to de-link human rights from other demands long ago because the Chinese were just not going to, were not standing for it. And now the relationship has become so much more complex that the human rights issue, in many ways, has, you know, taken a back seat to some of the larger issues, the economic issues.
And Cheryl Wudan, you'll be at the state dinner tonight, right?
Absolutely.
Any idea where you're sitting?
I have no idea. They've been extremely quiet. I think partly because of what's happened in the past, they are being very careful.
Well, and also because the protocol being very important to the Chinese is also taking sort of the biggest seat at this meeting. I think the Obama administration is very keen to project that it respects Chinese protocol here.
Yeah, they're pulling out all the stops. It's amazing what they're doing to host the Chinese. So the Chinese hopefully will be very, very happy.
And if they're not, I mean, with the sixth of the world under one flag, the Chinese are in a position to basically say, yeah, you're a nice little country, USA. You know, we'll get back to you.
Well, not quite. but they're not as willing to compromise, partly because of that vulnerability we spoke about. They don't feel as though they can give away the store. They really have to be extremely careful.
All right, Cheryl Wudan talking about for anticipating the state dinner that she will attend tonight. Hu Jintao and Barack Obama hosting a state dinner at the White House. Cheryl Wudan is a banker with Mid-Market Securities, author of the book China Wakes, The Struggle for the Soul of a Rising Power. Stay with us all hour as we look at the changing relationship between the U.S. and China and the notion of China's dominance in the world and the possible erosion of American power in the wake of China's waking.